everybody. Welcome back to Pagan's Witchy Corner. My name is Pagan, and today I'm joined by an old friend from an old podcast. If you are a longtime listener of the show, you may have remembered him from Chaos and Shadow, the show I used to do many, many moons ago. But Devin is a longtime friend of the show and of me, and I'm so happy that he's finally here on the show and you guys get to hear from him. But Devin Hunter, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad that we finally got to connect. I know life has been crazy, especially with the crazy pandemic and all that good stuff. But I'm so glad you're here and we get to talk about your books. And you have a brand new book that when the show airs, the book will be available for sale. So the newest book to your fantastic collection is Houseplant Horticulture, Green Magic for Indoor Spaces. And it is such a beautiful book. Oh my gosh. I was so excited when I got this in the mail. I was like, oh my God, it's so pretty. So the book obviously has such beautiful artwork. Who did the artwork? Did you?
No, Ciolo Thompson did the artwork.
Okay.
Ciolo Thompson has done a bunch of different decks, and they've been around the scene for a long time. They are a phenomenal watercolor artist, and watercolor is one of my favorite painting mediums. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan myself. I when I dabble in paint, that's what I do is watercolor. And so I knew just from, you know, my life among plants that watercolor is one of the best mediums for kind of just exploring and expressing plant life. And so when the possibility of Ciolo Thompson came up as an illustrator, I lost my stuff. I was so excited. And then when she said yes, it was just a dream come true. So really beautiful, fantastic, full color paintings that she's done. And I'm hoping, you know, I don't know if all this works out, maybe she might want to come back and do it again for another book, because I was so impressed with how this came out.
The book itself is absolutely beautiful, and it's not just obviously a coffee table kind of looking book, but it's also a really practical book. And I remember reading through it and I was just like, I can use this one and that spell and this thing. And I made so many notes throughout the book of how I can implement it into my life. And also a friend of mine who is a massive plant lover. And I told her, I was like, hey, you need to pick up this book when it comes out, because there is a specific spell in it that you need right now. You have to go pre-order it. And she did, which is great. And I'm so excited for it. So you have at least one pre-order from a friend of mine. So,
woo-hoo, awesome.
Now, obviously, I knew that you kind of had some ideas of this book because you had formed a Discord for the Houseplant Horticulture. I believe it was the Horticulture Discord back in the day, and I don't even know if the Discord's still around. Maybe I'm terrible about being in Discords these days, but
it's ghost.
It's a ghost. Okay, that's fair. But I know you had kind of mentioned like doing something like that and building a community around it. Is that kind of where you got the idea that's like, no, this really should just be a book on its own?
Well, it's yes and no. So I mean, I've always loved plants. I've always worked with, witches, right? Like, that's what we do. But definitely when it came to the idea of house plants, there was, like, nobody talking about it. And I even write a little bit in the book about, like, one of my first spiritual teachers kind of poo-pooing the idea of house plants over, like, you know, what are normally considered magical plants, herbs, things like that. And I just thought, well, how strange is that, right? And so there are authors like Aaron Murphy Hiscock, who I talk about in the book. There's some really cool wisdom that she shared at a horticulture event that I hosted a couple years ago. And then, you know, Juliet Diaz wrote the foreword as well.
Yes.
So and Juliet Diaz had written about some of the plants that I wrote about in the book, but none of us had really been allowed, just from a publishing standpoint, to like really dive into houseplants. And a big part of that was people just didn't know what to do with them, and publishers weren't sure what to do with them. So when the idea of doing a horticulture in general, which is just that idea of, it really, it's the community of magical people who are getting together to talk about plants and green magic and to celebrate what we refer to as the green flame, mm-hmm. Which is that energy of the verdant life force in the universe. But so, you know, and people who are plant people, we have kind of our own, we're our own mess, right? Like we are our own, and we're very weird, strange people. And we like to talk about things that most people find boring. So finding a community where we could get into things was a really important element for me, just in my own journey. And then from that, house plant hoarder culture was born. And it was really this idea of like, okay, well, other people, you know, are talking about trees and herbs and, you know, gardening and all that stuff, but nobody's really talking about what happens when we bring these things inside. And I live in California, where it is very arid and it's very dry, and so I can have a garden, but I'm very limited as to what I can do outside. But on the inside, I can do all kinds of fun things. So I have, you know, it started off as just a couple of plants, and my partner really was the one who started everything as far as the house plants go. And you know, he had, I think, one or two plants that he just had kept for years. And eventually I was like, well, I can grow plants inside. I can, you know, I like this thing. This look at this weird, I think I seen something online where it was like a black house plant, and I thought, oh, I have to have that. And then I went and got it, and I just fell in love. So that was years ago, pre-pandemic. And then when the pandemic hit, my life became plants, like in a very real way, so very, very quickly. And you know, I went from having like maybe 30 house plants to almost 1,000 during the pandemic. And now we're down to around 400. It's still a lot, and more because spring's happening and, you know, propagating and things are happening right now. But we had a lot of plants. It's a lot. So it was fun for me to look around at my jungle and approach plants from the perspective of being a witch who has a background in occultism, right? And in Western occultism. And you know, one of the first things when I let it slip that I was writing houseplant horticulture, one of the very first things that I got was some blowback from people saying, well, these plants are from South America and Asia, and how dare you? And I'm like, I am not talking about indigenous plant mysteries. That is not what this book is about. This book is me as a Western occultist and medium picking up a plant and saying, what do you do? Talk to me. Show me what you do. Show me what we can do together. And then I wrote about it. That's what this is. So there isn't any indigenous anything. I don't believe in that. I don't believe that it would be my position. So, like, you're not going to get any of that stuff. Sometimes I reference, like, oh, this thing has a medicinal history in parts of the world. But other than that, like, I'm not the person to teach you about Peruvian shamanism or whatever. Like that's not my job. But I will point you in the direction, and I will say, hey, this is where, you know, these people are doing this stuff, and this is where you can go. So, you know, houseplant horticulture really is about our community of people who have been working with houseplants as witches for, you know, ever. I mean, our grannies were doing this back in the day. They had Hoyas and Pothos and things, devil's ivy growing up, you know, around the living room. Like, we all grew up with these things. So why not acknowledge the occult? Why not acknowledge the spiritual, you know, things that are there? And that's what it really is. So in many ways, there's a lot of new material. But I did my best to fill in the blanks with things. So, you know, there's a big list of plants that people can go through and learn the magical properties of. But in addition to that, there's also like care tips and kind of warnings about, hey, this thing is actually toxic, so be careful about that. And you know, I did my best to try to bring that Western occult history to the subject of these plants without it being something that was colonizing and without it something that threatens cultures in any way, shape, or form, but really just embraces the existing relationships and threads that already exist.
And you did a beautiful job with that. From when I read through it, obviously, you do reference the fact that you're like, I am not here to teach you about indigenous plant life. That's not what I'm doing. And you do a really good job explaining that. I also really loved the care tips that you put in there because I have some house plants that were gifted to me that I'm like, well, we're gonna see if you live or die because I don't have a clue how to take
Yeah,
care of you. And
totally.
honestly, they're just like, no, I'm gonna live out of spite, which is great because that's, you know, pretty much fantastic for all my indoor house plants. That's kind of how they survive is out of spite, which is great. And but yeah, I love the fact that you were talking also about light sources and all of that too, because I'm just like, you know, nobody does explain this. And you broke
Yeah.
it down, and you're like, okay, here's how you break this down so, everybody can understand it, which I thought was awesome. But you also included
Art.
what, like 30, 40 different types of plants, or I don't even know, maybe even more than that. I didn't count them.
I think there's over 100 plants in the book.
Oh my
I
gosh, there's
step back.
so
I should be over.
many. I do know that there, that's why I was like 30, 40. I was like, I know there was a lot. And it like it, my brain's just like, there's too many to even count. Don't bother trying. So that's
Yeah, and there
why
were
I just
more.
guessed
Like we pared it
right.
down. Yeah, there were a lot more, and we definitely pared it down.
There were so many, but so many beautiful ones too. And when you were talking about the magical properties of so many of them, and there's properties in them that I wouldn't have ever associated with them. And obviously that was your gnosis that, you were bringing into that, your personal gnosis. So, you were saying that you just kind of sat down with a plant and were like, tell me how to magically work with you. Is that how a lot of your kind of experience came out, or was it more, I guess you could say, research based?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Because
That's
so I have a lot of yes and no's with this one. This was a really
okay.
fun project because so much of it happened incredibly organically, right? Like
Yes, of
it
course.
would be me repotting something for the 10th time and going, oh, this thing that I put you in this corner, to be part of this money spell, and you actually grew really quick while that was happening. Why? Or a plant would die, and it wouldn't make sense to me. Why are you dying? I've done all the things, and I've kept you alive for so long. Oh, you were part of this altar, right? So, kind of, there was a lot of that, a lot of sitting back and retrospecting. There was a lot of talking to other horticulturalists, and discussing their spiritual relationships. And then when it came to kind of getting the nitty-gritty, like properties and things like that, that really was a, even if I had been working with plant for 20 years, oh my goodness. Yeah, some of these plants I've had in my life for 20 years. They've died and I've had to go buy them again, but they're around. And just kind of working with them and saying, okay, I know that you have done XYZ in my magic. And so says you've done, ABC. What do you do? Like, what in your own words or in your own, terms, plant? I know this sounds so weird to talk to a plant, but that's what you do. What do you
We're
do?
witches, we talk to weird shit. It's
We
fine.
talk to weird shit, but we do. So it was definitely part, just my own experience, and then taking things from my notes and then putting those in the book. But that when there were, plants that I hadn't gone down that road with, then it was definitely me sitting down and asking them, what's up. And then, of course, and this is a really important thing, this is part of what took the book so long to write, is you don't just make stuff up and throw it in a book, especially when other people are going to do it. So it was, a lot of trying things out and testing things. And I'd have to, one of the things I put in the book are crystal correspondences. Every single one of those crystal correspondences was tested. Like I worked with the crystal and the stone at the same time. I put the stone in the soil. I did the stuff. Like it's all like it's there for a reason, right? So nothing is there just because it would make sense for it to be there necessarily. It's there for a purpose. Like I don't just fill things in. And it took a long time, to work that out. And I also was really conscious of, again, what other people were doing and what other people's experiences were, especially because this hadn't been, dove into yet. There's a lot of new material with this book. So I was very, very conscious that it couldn't be solely based off of my own experience, that I needed to get some wisdom from others. And that's why you'll get these snippets of little stories throughout the book. And, when it came to, there's a chapter in there about working with the perennial aspects of plants. And again, Aaron Murphy Hiscock had given me this huge, just beautiful, amazing, huge chunk of wisdom that I just couldn't part with. And it became a whole chapter of the book.
And
Oops.
that's okay. I mean, I love that you have brought so much new information into, obviously, witchcraft is old and we tend to rely on a lot of older practices. But your practice of bringing houseplants in, obviously, like you said, our grandmothers and mothers were all, practicing these with things, even if they weren't actually witches, but they were bringing them in because they brought peace into the home, or they made the home more warm and cozy. Obviously, those are different types of magical practices, even if you don't want to call them that. But bringing that into modern day witchcraft has now kind of started new paths into helping witchcraft transform, which I think is amazing because obviously keeping up with the old is good, but also remembering that we live in a modern world and things need to progress with that. And this is one of those things that's helping that progress into a positive manner. And I'm so excited for it. Oh my gosh, you guys, I can't wait for everybody who's listening to actually go and read the book because it is so beautiful. There's so much wisdom in it. And the journaling aspects, like I know all of your books have that journaling aspect, but there were so many great ones in there that you're just like, wow, well, time to go get a notebook because I need to figure this out for myself. And, realizing that they really are great practices to incorporate into your practice, even if you're not, a big green thumb, so to say. And I like how you also mentioned in the book that you're like, even if you don't have a green thumb, it can be cultivated, which is so good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, now you did kind of mention that you may have the artist come back. Are you thinking about possibly expanding this in the future?
I would love to. I've already sent Llewellyn a follow-up proposal, basically. And right now it's this was not an inexpensive book to create, so that I do know, which is one of the reasons it took a long time to make happen. When you get into publishing, most of the time, especially when you're into like metaphysical publishing, most of our books are like paperback. All of my books had been paperback up to this point, and getting full colors are really difficult, although it's easier because printing costs and things have changed. But it's really hard to get a book like Horticulture to just manifest. And so because of the money and stuff, the question was, well, are people even going to want to read this? Like, I think they will, and my publisher is pretty confident about it. Pre-sales look pretty good. But is it something that there's going to be an audience for, for a book too? So I have a book too that is waiting, and we're just gonna kind of see how the splash goes with this one, and then if everything looks good, then I'm gonna go for it. And if only because there's still stuff to talk about,
Oh, of
and
course.
even outside of the realm of houseplants, just when it comes to horticulture, there's still a lot of things to talk about. And my big push with this book is that when we work with houseplants, we get to meet Mother Nature halfway. And so many of us, especially if we're pagan people, our spirituality is based on having a relationship with the natural, with nature. And a lot of us live in suburbs, or we live in cities, and like the majority of us, and we don't have the ability to go and cultivate a forest, nymph relationship with the trees. That's just not something that's just even possible. So when we can work with houseplants, we get to kind of, invite that energy in to our lives versus having to go travel to go find it. And I find that in doing that, a lot of our witchy skills develop, like our psychic abilities develop, our sensitivity to energy develops. Like all of these things are there, even though we're not surrounded by giant redwood trees or whatever. Having a pinewood pine in your living room, or a ZZ plant, or even a I'm just looking around my room and picking up plants, any philodendron, any of those things, those things help to cultivate a relationship with the natural world, especially when we are often denied the ability to do that in a meaningful way. So it's yes, let's go and meet Mother Nature halfway. That's a big part of what the book is about. The other part of it is acknowledging that there's a spiritual thing going on with your houseplants. Like they have energy. They are connected to bigger things. And with being witches, as you said, like, of course we talk to weird shit, and that's what we do. But we can take that ideas of developing just a friendship with a plant, or a partnership with a plant, and go really far. And I've had some big life mysteries revealed to me on, through the leaves of a colocasia, like big stuff. And it just really is about your personal relationship and how really you're willing to meet Mother Nature halfway. And I think houseplants, indoor plants of any kind, help us to create a bridge, a much needed bridge, especially in the 21st century.
I think that's absolutely true. And, one thing that I will kind of add to that too is that when it comes to the spirituality of having house plants, we kind of sometimes forget that we can also, obviously you mentioned this in the book, but connect them to our own spiritual practices with deities and all that. You don't go deep into deities in the book, and I can understand why, because there's 20 million pantheons and as many gods and goddesses out there that you could possibly think of that you could tie into these practices, not only in a kind of green witch kind of way, but in just a normal practice way. Like for one example, I have a very large, very gigantic snake plant in my living room. I love her to pieces. She is awesome. But she was in my hallway for the longest time, and I moved her into the living room, and I was like, look, I know that you are meant to kind of repel snakes. That's actually kind of what you do. And we tend to attract a lot of snakes in the house. I think it has to do with me working with Loki, and that usually comes when I have not given him enough attention. Snakes wander into my house for some crazy reason. None are poisonous. They're all, perfectly fine. But little, black chicken snakes will wander in, and I'm like, guys, no, I don't do snakes. I'll handle spiders, but I will not do snakes. So I moved this plant in there, and I'm like, okay, you are by the front door. You have this whole window to, bask in. You're gonna be great. Keep the snakes out. That's all I'm asking is don't let any snakes in the house. And to date, I have not had a snake in my house yet, but it is
That's
spring,
awesome.
so I'm hoping that it
Yes.
continues that way. But that's kind of one of those things that having our plants into our home, we can ask them for assistance in specific ways, obviously, if they're good at that. And bringing them also into the practice of working with your deities, because it is a snake plant. I also was like, Loki, this is yours. You get to have this. This is part of you. It's not going to go on the altar. It's just way too big. And the bedroom where Loki's altar is just doesn't get enough light, so it wouldn't really work there. But I was like, this is your plant. Keep the snakes out of the house. We've already had this conversation. Stop sending them to me. I will pay attention to you. Here you go. So,
You know, I'm so glad you brought this up because one of the things that I'm kind of going through now, I'm working on another book, and I'm wrapping it up, and while this one's dropping, and it's all been crazy, but the idea of connecting the work to your personal work is really, really important to me. And my personal religion, spirituality is not like anybody else's, and it shouldn't be. And my relationship to my deities is very unique. And I do not like when books tell me what to do in order to have a relationship with my gods, because they're my gods. How dare you? And so I like inspire me, like all of that, but like there's no way an author of any kind could tell me about my relationship with the deities that I've been working with for over 20 years of my life. And that isn't to be cocky, that is just saying, I know what I'm doing. I've been like 20 years, like me and these spirits are very, very tight. So for me, it's really important not to get trapped as a writer in the idea that I'm teaching somebody religion. Or even a tradition. Like for me, it really is about teaching skills that can be applied to anybody at any part of their path, and that can integrate into the existing things that they do. So when it came to the gods, yeah, there are so, especially when we talk about like gods of agriculture and
Oh
like,
gosh,
oh, there are
yes, so
so many,
many.
right? Especially in the pagan world where everything is about, the cycles of nature and things like that. So it was really easy to find examples of agricultural deities, and or the original copy of the manuscript had a whole list of them, and just like you'd expect out of a pagan book. And then I kind of sat back, and my editor was like, do you need all that? And I'm like, I don't need it. I thought you needed it. I thought you wanted it. She's like, no. So we had this whole like, let's get rid of that. And it was so freeing because it really got to that point of how do you make this work for you? Because it isn't about like regurgitating what I'm doing or even duplicating what I'm doing. And like, I'm not your idol. I am a guy who likes to talk to plants and has been successful with growing them and using them in magic. You can come and learn some of the stuff that I do, apply that to your magic, and then create something new from it. Like that's what all of this is about. It's about synthesis. And I think the plant kingdom, more than anything, teaches us that. So when it came to this idea of like spirits and working with them, I tried to be as respectful and kind of omniscient as possible, while at the same time very much emphasizing that this is about you and your work. So, like, you know, as you're saying, if you got a relationship with like Loki, well, there are actually plenty of plants that would be great allies or great assets for that relationship, even though they're not coming from, you know, a Nordic world, right? Like that snake plant did not come from, you know,
No.
the Northern Hemisphere, but those energies sure as hell do syncopate, right?
Yes.
And that's what this work is about. It's about acknowledging those syncopations, acknowledging when there has been a synthesis. And to me, there's nothing more occult that you could ever do.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, having those different cultural relationship, or I'm sorry, different occult relationships with your deities and spirits and guides and entities, and the list goes on and on and on. Having those, yes, I really like kind of what you were saying about, yes, a book can teach you the basics of how to work with one of them, absolutely. But at some point, there will never be a book that will be able to teach you how to cultivate and grow that relationship, because eventually it is going to grow out of its box, and you're no longer going to have that written reference to be like, oh, is this normal? Is that normal? Like, you can have some of that, and a really good example of that, but it is based in personal gnosis, is Stephanie Woodfield. She wrote Priestess of the Morgan, I believe is the book, and majority of the book is written from UPG, or unverified personal gnosis. And I love that because it gives that outside box perspective. And a lot of the stuff you're talking about now, especially with this and working with the plants and bringing them into that practice, that's personal gnosis. We can't quantify that in the traditional sense of a book because it's personal to each and every person. And obviously, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you would know that the main message of the show is practice magic your way, because you can't always cookie cutter it. And if you do, you're going to put yourself in a box that may not be comfortable.
Absolutely.
So,
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I'll even add that, like, in the case of, you know, making things your own, kind of exploring gnosis, at the end of the day, like, I mean, just as an occultist in general, what the hell are you doing? To me, the whole point of what we do is to cultivate our path as spiritual people. Like that is, to me, is paganism, occultism gives me the freedom to explore that in whatever way I need to, you know, and no questions asked, and just get in there and do it. And so for me, you know, as simple as something like a house plant can be, and having a relationship with them, it really goes beyond the work that we do in the 101, where we're just trying to make sense of the of this thing and how does this fit together, and so on and so forth. It's not about that. It's about making your own recipes, right?
Yes.
And learning from what people have done so that you can create an even better recipe. And I'm a big fan of, like, you know, learn from the masters so that you can break all the rules. Like, I am that guy
Yes.
100%.
I
Because when it
love
comes to our,
that.
well, you know, when it comes to our spiritualities, it's you. The burden of your success or failure as a spiritual being is on your shoulders. Like, it isn't on anybody else's. That we reject this idea that we can do it the easy way and just line up in church and take a wafer and everything's fine. Like, we know better. We know we got to do the work. And
Yes.
a lot of the times in our path as witches, we get to a point where it's like we've learned all the spell theories, we've cast a bunch of spells over the years, we've worked with multiple deities trying to find a home, and we just don't know where the hell to go next. We don't know what should come next. And you know, what I often am finding myself in discussion about is this idea that we kind of have to come up with excuses to practice magic sometimes, because, you know, life is just going and it's day-to-day stuff, and maybe you don't need a spell for money because things are okay, or, you know, whatever. The things that usually light a fire under our butts to make us go and practice magic when we are starting early on don't really exist so much in the same way, because we've worked things out, hopefully, you know, after you've been around for a while. So we get to these plateaus where it's like, well, what the hell do we do next? And a big part of all of my work, everything that I write, is kind of approaching magic from that place and looking around and saying, okay, no, there really are so many opportunities to continue to cultivate magic that makes sense to me. And I really want people to feel like they can do the same. And so that when you get to that point and you're like, I've done these things, I've followed my interests. I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do. What am I studying next? Right? Like we get in this loop where we feel like we're constantly studying, studying, studying. You're always going to be a student. You are a student of life as the observer. That's how it works, right? So maybe take a step back and look around your life and look for things that are literally budding before your eyes and you know, houseplants, right? Like most of us have a houseplant, most of us have something. Reach out, play with that, like energetically, like use your witch senses and dig in and see what could happen next, right? And that's with your plants, with your rocks, with your home, with your friendships, like all of it. Like if you as a spiritual person, you as a witch, you are in the driver's seat, and there is always a reason to connect with the divine forces around us. There's always a reason, even if we're bogged down with work and, you know, the day-to-day life stuff, and it's hard to feel spiritual and witchy all the time. I get it. Good news is you're a witch all the time, so even when you take a poo, you are doing something magic, right? Like, and that is the truth. That is the absolute truth. So instead of getting to this point where we feel like we have to switch gears or we have to put on a new face in order to go approach the spirits and the gods, this type of work is about waking up and having dragon breath and sleep in your eyes and pulling a blanket over and watering your plants because they need it and you do too. You know, like this is the real work of every day that's been enlivened. And my hope more than anything is that people can take that away from it, that there's always a magical access point in our lives. And you know, in this case, I wrote about how houseplants are that magical access point. But we're witches. Like everything around us is an access point. And it's really difficult to remember that sometimes when you've been around for a while and you have lost that same sort of like inspiration that you had when you first started. It's a really difficult thing. And it can be disheartening for people too, because they, you know, a lot of people come to witchcraft because they're in need. You know, their life's crazy or something's going on and they're looking for power or a way to take power back. And they go through that experience and then they leave because there's nothing there. Like there's no long-term nutrients for people unless you're a weirdo like me and you, where we're just into stuff. We're just into weird stuff. So of course we're going to stick around because we're into it. That's what we like, right? But most people don't. Most people are coming into magic because they're in crisis or they're in a dark place in their life and they want help. And everyone knows this is where you go when you're in those situations, right? And I was that, you know, I started off as that person too. So being able to look back after 20 years and see the various ways that magic was consistent in my life, really important to just appreciate where I'm at now, especially if I hit one of those plateaus and where I want to go. You know, it's a process, it's a journey. We're all on that. And so as witches, it's about making that journey as magical as possible. So
You
houseplant
know,
horticulture.
I love that so much. And you know, the cool thing too is when you're, you know, having those busy, crazy times too, I can be 100% real with y'all that there are some days where life is too chaotic, too busy. You know, I'm chronically ill, so there are some days where I'm just like, I can't even begin to fathom communicating with the divine, and I just kind of like tap the altar as I walk by, and I'm just like, I acknowledge you, you're still here, I love you all, goodbye, I'm done. And that's okay. You don't have to be 100% in it. And you know, some people like the ceremonial magic, and that's cool. Some people like the more real magic, where it's just like, I'm gonna stir my intention into my coffee, and that's all I got for today. That's okay. Wherever you are on the spectrum is perfect because it's what you like and it's what's comfortable for you. And understanding that there's different ways to bring in different aspects, like you said, to break out of those plateaus. Maybe it is houseplant horticulture. Maybe it is, I don't know, connecting with the fae or doing something out of the norm for you that you're just like, I'm kind of curious about that, but I'm also terrified of it. That's usually the fun point where you're like, I'm gonna go play and see what happens. Yes, you might get burned a little bit, but you know what? You're still gonna learn a lot. You're gonna have great experiences,
And you'll have some
and
cool scars. Scars are sexy.
it's a good time. So
Absolutely.
absolutely go and do that and enjoy it. And wherever you end up after that, awesome.
It's okay.
It's
Yeah.
okay.
Absolutely.
So we've obviously talked about what you kind of have going on with the, potential for another book. Do you have any other books that you're, maybe wanting to tease a little bit that might be coming out, hopefully in the future
I
outside of the
do. I should.
horticulture
Of
stuff?
course. Of course. Yeah. No, I am a I write a lot. And I and it's yeah, it's so funny. I never thought of myself as an author until about last year when The Crystal Magic for the Modern Witch came out. And that's because I started all of this as a professional medium slash psychic slash witch, sorcerer, whatever you want to call me. I don't care. And it was really me responding to needs that people had, and I just showed up and started doing it. I had no intention of me becoming who I became, which I'm happy with who I am, but that wasn't the plan. The
That's
plan was
usually
to,
how it ends up working out, regardless.
the plan was to either, like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a band director and teach music, or I wanted to go into the FBI, and it was one of the two. And I still want to go into the FBI. Like, that's still something I would enjoy. But it's the, for me, all of this kind of started as there were people who were in pain and no one could help them, and I did. And once that happened, I realized I liked helping people, and I liked regifting my spiritual gifts, so to speak. And so it happened. So I found myself writing books one day, and I just thought of myself for a very long time as this guy who wrote some books to help people, people I was working with and whatnot. I wanted to try to put all the stuff I was doing into one place as much as I could. And I didn't think of myself as an author. Authors are these amazing people who write epic books, and I was just writing these little dinky things about spiritual progress. And I just didn't think of myself as an author. And then about last year that changed, and I realized that nope, this is what I'm doing. Like, there's no getting around it, and I should just embrace it. And I like it, and so I do write a lot, but it's something that I kind of just happened in my life organically. And so, but to that end, yeah, there's a lot of projects, and the big thing I'm telling everybody this year is I'm doing as much manifestation in secret as possible. And so there
Okay.
are several secret projects that I have in the works that I've been working for, like, in some case 2 years, that are all coming to fruition this year. And so there are a lot of things. I'm keeping my mouth shut until it is time, to really announce those. One thing that is out that everybody knows about is right now I'm working on a book that is tentatively titled Bad Vibes. And it is all about as psychic people, as spiritual people, going in and dealing with negative vibes, bad vibes, everything from icky residue, spiritual residue that's left over in places, to what a psychic vampire really is, and how to take care of those shadow people that just won't go away. Like, I try to cover all of the topics that I go over with my clients when they call me in to do a house call. And so it's a lot of that mediumship work and work that I've done with in the preternatural paranormal world, all put into one. And so that is looking like a spring 2025 release. So that's coming up. And there are two other book projects that are were in the works, but I will not talk about them.
That's
I mums
okay. That's okay. We don't have to talk about those.
The cool thing, I will say, is that with Houseplant Horticulture, with a drop of Houseplant Horticulture, I have been able to collab with some really cool people to create things that go along the lines of what's happening with the book. So there's, if you were a yarn person, like, my secret hobby, it's not a secret at all, I totally share everything I do, but one of my hobbies is actually knitting and crochet. It's how I kind of trance out at night and do my thing. And I love working with yarn. I never thought I would be a yarn person, but here I am. And so I was able to connect with Arcane Fiberworks, which is this
Oh,
huge
neat.
independent dyer. out of Canada, and they do a lot of yarn that is very in line with kind of what we do as people who are into the occult and witchcraft. Even though I don't know that they, I don't know if they are witches themselves, and we haven't had that level of conversation. But working with them, and on Monday, which when this drops, there will be a limited edition colorway that is designed based off of the book cover. And it's for people to get through Arcane Fabworks, and it'll be available, I think, through the end of the year. And the idea with that really is, for me, I love waking up and sipping my coffee and talking to my plants. And I wrap myself up with like I have a cardigan, and I've got a shawl, and I got a couple of things that I just kind of throw over myself. And I wanted to like formalize that. So I worked with them, but we're putting two patterns out, one's for like a one-skein cowl and another one's for a little bandana. And it's a really fun project, but it's there to help could just kind of accentuate the stuff that we do as plant people. Like plant people and yarn people, pretty there's a lot of crossover there.
Yeah, there
There's
is.
also a lot of crossover with plant people and candle people. So Adam Pamita has been just amazing, and has designed a houseplant horticulture candle that's also
Oh,
limited
nice.
edition. Yeah, so that'll be dropping on Monday as well. So all of this is coming out this week, but there's these little opportunities to just kind of take what we're talking about in the book a little further, to do something fun and strange with it, and my hope was just to give people excuses to connect what they do with plants to other aspects of their craft. So it's really fun. There's a lot of really cool things happening with it out now. And of course, we've got events that we do. There's the official Witches' Sabbat and Houseplant Horticulture, or and Horticulture the event. We're doing a double event weekend that's at the end of this month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So come check it out. It's $75 for the whole weekend, and you get a lot of stuff, a whole lot of stuff, if you attend online. And all the money goes directly to support the presenters and the authors that you're working with. So unlike other events, like it's not about like they get a flat fee. We just split, money up equally and just kind of go from there. So it's a really good way to support your favorite authors, and it's a really good way to take the stuff that you're doing and see what people are developing and what's coming out next, and to learn some new skills. This particular year, we're focusing on crafting, like specifically, like how do you make those really cool witchy oils? How do you make effigies? How do you sew? What does this look like when you're sewing something together? Like Silver Ravenwolf is coming in and talking about stitch magic, and it's really freaking cool. So if you're into making and you're into crafting, you definitely want to check out the event this month.
The other thing too is I have been to the Witches' Sabbath events in the past, and they are all amazing. Like they are so good. You will get so much information. Obviously connect with a lot of other really great witches. You'll learn from some amazing authors. So if you can, and obviously, as always, all the links to all of these wonderful things will be in the show description, so you will have an easy time finding them. You will have the ability to, go pick up the cool yarn. You'll have the ability to pick up your tickets to the Horticulture and Witches' Sabbath event. You'll have the ability to do all of these amazing things. And obviously, where can people find you on social media to connect with you these days?
Well, I mean, really, truthfully, it's just go to modernwitch.com and
Okay.
you can all the things. We try to make it as easy as possible. And I will just say on like TikTok and non-meta platforms, there are a lot of scammers who have cloned my
Yes.
account and are reaching out to people trying to get reading. I am never going to do that. I actually don't offer readings to the public right now. Because of that, like it's become such a problem that it's just easier for me to say I don't do that versus trying to wrestle people, down. But that will I there is a window opening because I have a lot of clients that I've worked with for a very long time who want me to come back. So we'll be doing that this summer. But otherwise, like, no, I'm not the one messaging you on TikTok asking you about your ancestors. That is not me. That is not happening. But just go to modernwitch.com. That is the easiest way to find me and Matt Oren and Storm Fairy Wolf and a whole bunch of other people. So it's a good hub.
Awesome. Well, all of that will be listed in the show description. And yes, for the record, if any of your favorite witchy authors messages you and says, "Hey, so and so is trying to reach you, or hey, would you like a free offering, or you would like a reading or something like, no, it's not them. Ever. Ever. They will never message you. Honestly, as much as this is going to sound a little bit harsh, most of the authors have lives. They are not going to take the time to message 20,000 people for readings. If they offer readings, they're going to expect you to go through proper channels to reach them. So it's not to be harsh to you, and it's not to be like, oh my gosh, Devin Hunter messaged me. N If Devin Hunter messages you, it's because you guys were already in contact with each other. The Devin Hunter that messaged you was not real. That was a scammer. So be careful on social media. It is a scary place, but it is also a really great place for people to connect with all of these amazing people. And all the great show links, everything that you guys are going to have for to get in contact with Devin, the book links, the event links, everything is going to be in the show description. You will have an easy place to access everything. Make sure you go get a copy because it's awesome. It'll be out the day this episode airs, which is going to be April the 8th. So make sure you pick up a copy of this book and all of Devin's books. And for the record, Devin, you are an author because I've read all your other books and they're amazing. So don't disparage yourself thinking you're not. Like you were
I know
saying
it
that, I
was.
was like, I need to scold him because
Yeah, like what the hell?
no.
I know. Everyone was like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I guess I've just been so busy doing the work, I hadn't really thought about what it meant, you know." But yes, no, I know, right? I just gotta that this is the year of just embracing that
This
for
is the
sure.
year of embracing that and knowing that you are also a badass and awesome. So, everybody, take care of yourselves, be kind to each other, and I will see you all next time. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.